This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Commanders have the Steelers on Sunday, and then 4 days later, they have the Eagles. They are trying to win Pennsylvania here, okay?
Good bet.
Pittsburgh and then Philadelphia. Steelers coming here with an elite championship caliber defense. Eagles hosting with, I think, a defense they'll be able to move the ball on and score on, but a scarier offense in terms of weaponry.
Mm-hmm.
Best two-game stretch in terms of opponents they felt dealt with all year.
Yeah, it's not hyperbolic either. That's a combined 12-4 record between the two teams. This is like old-school NFC East type stuff, right? Back in the 80s and 90s when you had a couple juggernaut opponents and you happened to play the best team from the AFC the week before. This is rare that you're going to play two teams back-to-back that are this good.
So if they go 2-0... in this next two-game stretch, what are we going to be saying? Versus if they go 1-1 and if they lose both. I want to go through all three of those possibilities. Let's go in reverse.
Okay.
They lose twice in 5 days to the Steelers and the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
They are now 7-4. They're very well positioned to make the playoffs. They're still an odds-on favorite to be a wild card team with very favorable tie-breaking metrics. But at that point, you'd imagine they're no longer tops in the NFC East, and because for the moment at least they wouldn't have the tiebreaker, the Eagles would be the most likely team to win the division.
Mm-hmm.
What will we be saying?
This is another set of good games against good teams that they haven't come out on top. The four best teams they would have played, they would have lost all four of those.
So it's those two games, the Ravens and the Bucks.
Yeah, you'd say, right? Now, Tampa's not the same team now that they were then. Week one, Tampa was good. We saw the first part of the season when they had everybody healthy, et cetera. Tampa this week, no Evans, no Godwin, you know, missing a bunch of guys. But that you kind of go, okay, they're still ahead of schedule. They're still good. In fact, they're probably at the top of the good bucket. But maybe not quite ready for all of the things that we're dreaming about. Maybe not quite ready for all of the this parade or this NFC title game or whatever. Whether that's fair or not, that's kind of going to be, I think, the point of discussion where you go, you've beaten bad teams. I talk about this all the time. If you beat bad teams, you go to the playoffs. If you beat some of the good teams, you get home field advantage. And that's a season. And there you go, right? You go 500 against excellent teams. You're ahead of the game. You're a legit contender. So if you don't win either of these two games, you're going to go, okay, as you said, they're very well positioned. They're still going to the postseason. There's still a lot to be happy about. And that's a bummer. But maybe we have to slow our roll a little bit. But we're still, you know, doing really well.
So I think the national discourse around the Commanders is going to be, if they were to lose both of the upcoming games, they are a paper tiger. I think that's what people are mostly going to be saying. Now, everybody loves Dan Quinn. Everybody loves Jaden Daniels. We got some guys in the Cool Kids Club. So I don't think anyone's going to be selling on Washington in the grand scheme of things in the big picture. Everyone will still be putting the Commanders over nationally. But I think they're going to say what you're talking about, which is when they play good teams, they lose. They beat up on the bad teams. That's certainly not how I'm going to feel. Assuming they're competitive in those two games, I guess how they play them is going to determine a lot for me. I'm just going to feel like football happened. I think they've already proven themselves to be really good. There's a half season left, so they're going to have to, at different points, continue to prove that and keep showing up and keep showing that you're good. But I'm not going to view it as a referendum if they lose to Pittsburgh and Philly, that they actually weren't as good as we thought, or we put our, you know, the cart before the horse, so to speak. That's not really how I'm going to be thinking about it, unless they lay a couple of eggs and they just get exposed in areas where we didn't know they weren't that good, or some of the issues that haven't reared their head over several weeks now suddenly become problems. But that's not normally how it works. I mean, the sample size of a half season is generally good enough to know if something is a big, big issue. We will have seen it already. It's not like they played two or three games. They played 9 out of their 17, man. Like, they played more than half of the quarters they're going to play this season. So that's if they go 0-2. If they split, are we going to be in the same boat as we're in right now? Does it matter? I mean, obviously the Eagles game is way more important because it's in the conference, in the division. It's head-to-head with the team you're trying to beat for the NFC East. So if you could split, you want to win the Eagles game more so than the Steelers game. But I wonder if they are, say, 8-3, 1-1, that to me would feel like more of a positive than a negative.
It would here too for me, yeah. I mean, because again, it's the one of the two or three best teams you've played at this point. You can quibble over where you put Pittsburgh.
Like, you'd have your best win that you don't currently have right now, your signature win.
And there it is. So you, if you drop one at home and then you have to turn around 3.5 days later and go play in Philadelphia when they're likely to be 7-2 coming into the weekend, and you win that game, I'll take that right now. Sight unseen. I'll take that. I'll take 1-1 if you perform that. I would sign up for that, as you know, if you offer me that blind, like door number 2. You know what I mean? Like, you'd be 8-3 with a commanding lead in the division, because now you've beaten Philadelphia. Your divisional record is, I think, 3-0 at that point, and you're well ahead of things.
Ooh, that's a very fun question. Actually, I'm going to jot this down to come back to. So you're saying right now, either the whatever happens or 1-1, you would take 1-1.
Yeah, if I get to touch a button, you know, like one of those weird movies where you touch a button and something happens that you can't see, they go 1-1, they lose to Pittsburgh and beat Philadelphia 4 days later. I'm signing right now.
Okay, so in that order.
Yeah.
Like, you would not sign up sight unseen for 1-1.
No.
You would sign up 1-1 with a win over the Eagles.
Yes.
Ooh, that's fun. I think that's the right answer.
Versus take your chances. Maybe you go 2-0. Maybe go 0-2.
Because I do think they can go 2-0.
I think they can too.
They're favored over the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're going to be favored over the Eagles. I'd like to see a look-ahead line on that. See if you can find that, Darius. They're on the road. Philly gets 2 points, maybe 2.5 there, depending on what the Lynx home field advantage is. I'm confident enough in them that I wouldn't take the deal or no deal style, over what's in the case. I would not do that, definitely, if I didn't know which one they're getting. Because they would win the one that matters more, I think I would probably have to. The Eagles game is the biggest game of their year until they play the Eagles again. Those will be the two biggest remaining games on their schedule.
At the moment, our friends at FanDuel have the Eagles favored by 3 at home.
3 points, really? So I guess that's not that surprising, although they are saying on a neutral site, Philly would win that game too.
Mm-hmm.
Worse in the standings. Haven't been as impressive. But they're the Eagles, in Washington, I guess, is the team that's been bad for 30 years.
Probably part of it, I would say. Yeah, and what you do well, Washington maybe struggles with in terms of weaponry and the like. You know, A.J. Brown's health is
on the other side, though, too.
Totally fair. A.J. Brown's health, I think, is a major question there. Is Goddard's getting healthy? Although, you know, that's usually lasts for about an hour, hour and a half.
Maybe they feel like the Eagles have a better win or better wins on their resume. They beat the Bengals more handily. They got blown out by the Bucs as well. They lost to the Falcons. Their best win is Green Bay. That's a really good win. But if you remember, that was not in the United States of America.
That was a weird game.
And it was in Week 1. It was on the opening Friday night of the season. So I don't know how relevant that really is at this point. Do they have a good win other than the Green Bay win?
That's their best win.
But I'm dismissing. I mean, you could count it if you want to. They played the Packers.
Yeah.
But it was a weird surface, slipping and falling all over the place. They didn't even play that well in that game. Since then, if you don't give them that on a neutral site, do they have a good win?
Bengals is the next best thing. Bengals playing better now than they were then.
I got that one too.
I know. The way they did it, it wasn't like if, you know, Cincinnati misses a chip shot field goal, which Evan McPherson never misses, then you have to go for 2 twice. Like, Philadelphia handled Cincinnati. But again, that's I hate doing the transitivity game where you're going, well, this team beat this team by this amount, which means they're better or worse.
Okay, if we're playing that game, they barely beat the Browns.
Totally.
Washington beat the brakes off of.
Exactly. So it cuts both ways there. I mean, they were dominating Jacksonville until they weren't, right? I mean, they probably could have, you know, very easily lost that game too. So, yeah, I mean, look, trying to make that value proposition of going 1-1 if that one is Philadelphia. The more puzzling question for me is, would I just sign up for 1-1 right now?
That's what I'm wondering.
Regardless.
I think we should take calls on that later, maybe next hour. To finish out the exercise, we talked about 0-2 and 1-1. They're 2-0.
Hello, operator. Can you book me up a suite in New Orleans, please, for me and the fellas?
I mean, guy, if they beat the Steelers on Sunday, and then they go to Philly on Thursday.
In front of us.
We'll be there
with
our good friends, Kondori Murad and Company, at Lincoln Financial Field. But can you imagine if they win both of those games and they're 9-2 after beating two playoff teams?
Oh, I'm going to be insufferable.
Then they're the Lions and the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Then they are, it's not the only team better than them is dot, dot, dot. Then it's just best team in football. And if they do the same route as the Capitals and the Nats, where do we want to sit during the parade route? Like, those are the conversations.
Those are the convos. 9-2.
9-2. My lips are filled with smile.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78 million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.